أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him. We put our trust, our faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For He that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness to give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the Holy Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. That is because they opposed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever opposes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then surely Allah is severe in punishment. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He again reminds us, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِيَ مَنْ أَسْرَفَ. And this, or rather, وَكَذَلِكَ means, and that is how we reward those who transgress beyond bounds and do not believe in the signs, the ayah of His Lord. And the torment of the hereafter is far more severe and lasting. And the torment of the hereafter is far more severe and lasting. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned those who had migrated from Mecca to Medina, saying, Ya muhajirun, You may be afflicted with five things. May Allah forbid that you should live to see them. If fornication should become widespread, you should know that this never comes to pass without new diseases befalling the people which their ancestors, never were afflicted with. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, evil has manifested on the land and the sea because of what the hands of men have earned. Allah has allowed it to happen so that He may make them taste a part of the evil that they have done, in order that they may return, meaning return to repentance and beg Allah's pardon for what they have done. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us, إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. إن أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة. Surely your wealth and your children are a trial. And again he says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Know that your wealth and your children are a trial. We reflect upon these ayah and this hadith, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so that we can have a basis for understanding what we will discuss inshallah ta'ala today. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about our children, our wealth and our children. What could be besides our own lives more dear to us? As a matter of fact, we will put our lives on the line for our children. So our wealth and our children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us, He knows. But He says it's a trial. It's a test. And for the Muslim who fears Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is striving to obey Him, there's not a moment in his life that he's not aware of this. Especially when it comes to our children. We live in a society that has unprecedented things occur that, as far as the historical record is concerned, it is not known whether man has ever seen this before. A society where a child can divorce his parents. A society where the courts allow the children to sue their mother and father because they were denied recreational activities. A society where the parents live in fear of disciplining their own children. It has become more and more common for the children to call the police when their parents have done no more than their job. Such a society is doomed. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite in his mercy and his patience. When we witness this, knowing his quwwa, even just this much, and he allows those who fragrantly disobey them, obey him rather, to drink water. The society is doomed, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and I mean that in every sense of the word. And this should be clear from what has allowed to become acceptable behavior of children regarding their parents. This permissiveness, this acquiescence, this throwing up of the hands of the parents has set the stage for the following statistics. According to the Center for Disease Control, a survey of high school students in 2011 revealed this. Nearly 34% from the time of the survey, 34% had had sex within the last 3 months. Nearly 40% of those polled did not use any protection whenever they did have sex. So 40% was having sex, 34% within the last couple of months. 15% of those polled said that they had at least four partners from that time in their life. High school students. At least four. Some had more. High school students. Nearly half of the 19 million reported new STD cases. For those of you who do not know what that means, sexually transmitted diseases. Each year, nearly half of the 19 million new cases are among people 15 years to 24 years of age. Among African Americans, 75% of their children are born out of wedlock. 75%. Now, these stats do not account for the rise among grammar school young girls who have been diagnosed with HPV, a sexually transmitted virus and a major cause for cervical cancer. These are the facts. And again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, evil has appeared on the land and the sea because of what the hands of men have earned, that Allah may make them taste a part of what they have done, in order that they may return, repent, and ask Allah's pardon. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it's not hopeless. There's hope where there's action. As Muslims, we are not to feel overwhelmed and thus do nothing. Instead, we should do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said do. And trust in that. Don't worry about the results that you may see them. Trust in doing what he said do. That's it. Do what he said do. Let him take care of the rest. That is our job. That's our charge. تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. To rebuke, to repel, to resist what is fahsha, grossly evil, the kaba'ir, the big deeds, the big sins, and munkar, those things that are clearly hateful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Surely your wealth and your children are a trial for you. Nobody said it was easy. And we are reminded in hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed one of His angels the trials that the human being are sure to face as they pass through this dunya, and once this angel saw how Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorated the path to hell and the path to paradise, he said, I don't know how anyone is going to make it to heaven, and I don't know how anyone will escape hell. There is hope where there's action. Do you know, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He pointed out Shaytan, He didn't call him Shaytan. He called him Iblis, the hopeless. The hopeless. And that's what the shaitan wants to do to you. Whisper to you, oh, this is impossible. You guys will give up. And so we do nothing. There's hope where there's action. There's hope when we take action. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when you see it wrong, try to correct it with your hand. And if you are unable to do so, speak out against it. In this case, today we are focusing on our children. Look around. Where are they? Where are our youth? If they're in an Islamic school, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, may Allah continue to reward you and protect them. But if they're not, where are they? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we cannot expect this society, it's not your friend. It will eat your children and smile at you. It is not your friend. If you go to them and try to get them to live up to their own laws, if they see it will benefit you as the Muslim, they will change them. They are not your friend. I don't care what they call as a constitution. It ain't meant to include you. We, the people, not you. That's what it means. Did you think they were talking about the Muslims when they wrote that? No! It is not meant to help the Muslim. It's not based on what Allah and His Prophet said. So why are you looking at for shade? Oh, I'm going to make them do. No, you're not going to make them do nothing. Especially when it comes to your children. They are on a mission to corrupt your child. Period. So what about their own kid? They don't care about their children. They care about your children being corrupted. They don't want your child to come and speak out against their haram. So where are your children? If we continue as Muslims to feel that we are putting our children in a kafir environment with kafir teachers and kafir children and we expect for them to come out clean, you're being ridiculous. about it. You at work 8 to 10 hours a day. They're in school 8 to 10 hours a day. What Islam are they getting if it's not an Islamic school? What influences are they already getting, regardless what school they're in? Where is your answer to that? So now that they get 18 to come home with a dog collar around their neck, tattoos all up and down their body, and earrings in every part, and studs and everything, then you want to complain. Oh, my child. It's too late. Too late. There's nothing you can do with that. Where were you when you had an opportunity? That opportunity is now. Every one of us, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we all have different set of circumstances. But inshallah ta'ala, we are all striving towards the same goal. So when it comes to our preteens and our teens, those who are under attack regarding their deen, we must stand strong and we must stand firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it be against yourselves or your parents or your kin or the rich or the poor. Allah is the better protector of you all. So do not follow your desires, or else you may avoid justice. And if you do distort the witness, meaning distort your witnessing, or refuse to bear witness to the truth, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well acquainted with what you do. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are the Muslims. We are the Muslims. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Astaghfirullah inna Allaha ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina faman yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa al-khatim min al-anbiya'i wal mursalin amma ba'd. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Surely, the decision is for none except Allah. He declares the truth, and he is the best of judges. Now, many of us may not know about some of the nuances with regards to this deen. But all of us know that zina, fornication, and or adultery is forbidden. And this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is the most ubiquitous weapon in the arsenal of the shaitan against us. Doesn't matter the age, the shaitan is winning. And we cannot, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, those of us, if you find yourself in that position and Allah has blessed you to repent, you cannot let the guilt of your own sin make you easy against the one who is your child? You find them doing this, you're supposed to stand firmly with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Period. Well, you did so and so, and you still gonna get whooped. What you do, what they do, y'all have to stand for your own sins. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ مَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. That day, a man will run from his father and his wife and his kids, because that day all of them have enough to worry about for their own self. On that day, your kid comes to you, "Daddy, Daddy, I can't help you. I can't do nothing for you." That's right. Yoma idin shat nun yugni. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, there was an incident in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. During his reign as the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, as related by Ibn al-Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said one day he was in Masjid al-Nabawi, al-Nabi, the Masjid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Umar radiallahu anhu was speaking to the people. Wasn't a khutbah, he was sitting, as was his habit. And there came a woman interrupting. "Assalamu alaykum, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen," she said. "Wa alayki salam," he replied, "and how may I help you?" She revealed she was carrying an infant. She said, "Take this baby, it's yours." He said, "Who is this? I don't know this child." She began to weep. "Take him. Take your son. I'm his mother." "What are you talking about? I don't know this child." She said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's not from you, it's from your son." Now, maybe many of us may not know, but Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he had 13 children. So he asked, "Which son?" One of his children, his name was Abdurrahman al-Awsat, because he was the middle of the 9 boys that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Umar radiallahu anhu with. Al-Awsat means the middle. He had a famous nickname though, that being Abu Shahma. And that is what she said, that this is the child of Abu Shahma. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Is this child halal or haram?" Now, just for a moment, I need to make a comment here. If I was to ask any of us in this society, many of us would not understand the import of that question. And that's a problem. This is the Khalifa. After Abu Bakr, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not too much time. And he asked a question in a way that everyone present would understand what he was asking. And that we don't understand that is a problem. Is this child halal or haram? Meaning, was it conceived in marriage and halal and blessed? Or is it haram because it came from illegal sexual intercourse and therefore it is unblessed? Period. So the sister replied, she said, from me, it's halal. But from him, it's haram. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, she said, after Umar radiallahu anh implored her, compelled her, tell me how this happened and speak the truth and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, one day I was walking and I crossed the wall of Bani Najjar. And your son, Abu Shahma, he had just come from the home of Nusayka, the Jew. While I was walking, he grabbed me from behind, pressed me against the wall, and raped me. Later, I came to find that I was pregnant. And I was so ashamed that I left town and hid it from everyone so that no one would know where I was and the people who saw me wouldn't know who I was. Once I delivered this child, I thought maybe it would be best if I killed it so that I could avoid the shame of what had happened to me. But then I thought about it. And I asked myself, why should I put myself in trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by killing an innocent baby? So that's how you find me today before you, submitting to you, your grandchild, and submitting to your judgment. Now mind you, this is Umar ibn Khattab. If you know anything about Umar ibn al-Khattab, you know that he was extremely upset. This is the person who, you know, he was known for swinging the sword first. First. Then ask questions. But Allah blessed him. And he turned to his assistant. He said, call everyone in Medina to the masjid. Now. Once they had assembled, he told them all, stay put until I come back. And he turned to Ibn al-Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and he said, come with me. So Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he followed Umar to his home. And when he got there, he said, where is Abu Shahma? And they said, he's eating. And he went to where he was eating and he said, eat! This might be your last meal. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, all of the color drained from Abu Jahma's face and the food fell out of his mouth. When he saw his father, what he said, he knew this was not a jest. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, to his son, who am I? Who am I? He said, you are my father and Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, do I or do I not have rights over you? He said, yes, you have two. You have the rights as my father and the rights over me as the Amir of the Mu'mineen. He said, I ask you by the right of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my right upon you as your father, were you a guest of Nusayka Yahudi, drinking wine and then getting drunk? He said, yes, that is true. And I repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And the crown of the mu'min is the tawbah. He said, I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from there, did you go to the wall of Bani Najjar and upon finding a woman there, rape her? Abu Shahma was silent. Tears began to flow and he began to weep. Speak the truth! Inna Allaha yuhibbu sadiqeen. Surely Allah loves those who tell the truth. He said, yes, this happened. I repent and I'm sorry. No sooner than these words fell from his mouth, Umar radiallahu anhu seized him by the neck and dragged him all the way to the masjid. My father, he said, my father, please, don't expose me. Take your sword, cut me down, but don't expose me before the people. And he said, what? You didn't hear what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? And the woman and the man guilty of fornication, flog each of them with 100 stripes. Do not let pity withhold you in their case in the punishment prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you believe in Allah in the last day, and let a party of the believers witness their punishment. So he dragged his son into the masjid. And he announced to the people there saying, the woman speaks the truth. Abu Shahma has confessed. He then turned to the one he had appointed as the enforcer, whose name was Aflah. He said, take my son and give him 100 lashes. Be firm and let the people witness. Abu Shahma began to scream. And Aflah, he hesitated. You must obey Allah, said Umar radiallahu anhu. And you must obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aflah took Abu Shahma, bound him, and began to administer the lashes. Umar radiallahu anhu, he shouted harder. And he did. And Abu Shahma screamed, Ya Abi, have mercy upon me. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and mercy upon you. Aflah, harder. And Aflah did so. And Abu Shahma begged for a cup of water. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will cleanse you. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give you water to drink. Aflah, harder. When Aflah reached 80 lashes, Abu Shahma, he said, Abi, assalamu alaik. He said, wa alaikum assalam. If you see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give him the greetings for me. And tell him that Umar radiallahu anhu, you left him reciting the Holy Quran and applying the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aflah! Harder. And he did so. When he reached 90 lashes, Abu Shahma could no longer cry out. And the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they stood up and they stood up. And they said, Umar! Please! Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen! There are not so many lashes left. Leave them for another time. He said to them, if he did not delay the sin, I'm not going to delay the punishment. Aflah! Before Aflah could strike, the mother of Abu Shahma, she arrived screaming, please, my husband, please, I am ready to make Hajj for every lash that you spare him. I will make it on foot. And I will pay any sadaqah in whatever. amount you choose, if you spare him these lashes. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, neither the Hajj nor the Sadaqah can replace the punishment. Aflah, harder. The next blow that Aflah hit killed Abu Shahma. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, O my son, may Allah release you from your sin. And Umar radiallahu anhu began to wail and cry. And all of the believers wept at the death of Abu Shahma. 40 days later, Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he was reported to have said, by Allah, it was the day of Jum'ah, and in my sleep, I saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with him was Abu Shahma, wearing two green robes. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to me, give the greetings to Umar radiallahu anhu, and tell him this, what he has done, is what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him. Recite the Quran and stand for the rules of Islam. And he said, then Abu Shahma, he said to me, tell my father, assalamu alaikum. And tell him that I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies him, for he has surely purified me. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we could go further, but the time does not allow. For those of you who may be concerned and wish to read more, you can find this in the book of Ad-Daylami, in his book Al-Muntaqa. Suffice it to say, we live in a society that persecutes the parents, especially those who try to save their children from the fire. But Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands us, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in his book, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ward off from yourselves and your families a fire whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, who do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from executing his commands, but they do only that which they are commanded. We have a terrible situation in that we are not able to implement the hudud of Islam. In the land of kufr, they cannot be implemented, because the hudud requires the land. The laws of Islam requires the land, and it requires that all of Islam be implemented, the punishment and the provision. In a Muslim land, you are not required to pay health care. In a Muslim land, you are not required to have to pay for your education. In a Muslim land, whatever comes out of it is partly your money. And so therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes so many things off of your plate that it's easy to obey him. So in this land, it's not easy to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for us to do. And we cannot implement the hudud. But we must obey the prohibitions. Period. That's dunya wide. If you're on the moon, you gotta obey what Allah said. Period. But the hudud, they have different situations. That does not mean that you do not do your best to save your child from bad behavior. Because if you believe, you know what he gets there will be far worse. What she gets there will be far worse. So if you cannot correct it with your hand, don't be stupid. Yeah, my daughter got a boyfriend. Oh, his girlfriend just called. What? Please. please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, don't be the donkey for the devil. We are Muslims. And we have a responsibility. There's hope where there's action. So let us act upon our faith and have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will help us and save us and our children from the fire. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.